This is the Beauty Authority Podcast, hosted by Dr. Vicky Bello
and Katrina Razon.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to the Beauty Authority Podcast. I am Dr. Vicky Bello, cosmetic dermatologist and surgeon.
I am Katrina Razon, yoga teacher, holistic health coach. Let's talk about anything beauty, health, and wellness. In this week's episode of Beauty Authority, we are going to talk about a lot of interesting topics surrounding the current situation of our world. In 2020, a global pandemic has thrown all of our lives into a state of confusion, bringing us back to what really matters the most, which is the state of our health and our human connection to our family and friends. So kicking off the episode is Dr. Vicky, who has had some really interesting inquiries from her friends. Tell me more about that, Dr. Vicky.
Yes, Kat. So I've been getting a lot of phone calls, especially the last 2 weeks, from, you know, patients and friends who are asking for referrals to psychiatrists and psychologists because they feel like they're being overwhelmed and then they're getting depressed and very moody and short-tempered and they don't know what's going on. And the weirdest thing is, as I'm calling my psychiatric friends and my psychologist friends, and the weirdest thing is now that I'm calling my psychiatric doctor friends and my psychologist friends, they're all fully booked. So this must be a very general phenomenon that people are really undergoing some mental problems and depression during this time. What do you think is happening? I think Kat can explain more because she is a holistic health coach and she's really studied how to stay healthy both in body and in mind. Kat, can you shed some light on what's going on?
Well, what's happening now is that everyone is in a state of flight or fright. So our parasympathetic nervous system is always activated. And what that means is that we have an unseen threat in the air, and that threat is COVID-19. All of us are honestly thinking about our survival and survival in the purest and the rawest form possible is how do we defend ourselves against an unseen threat, like a pandemic, for example. And, you know, as a yoga teacher, I've been receiving a lot of messages as well from people asking me, I don't feel like myself. When do you think I will feel like myself again? Because I really don't feel normal. I feel like I'm scared to interact with people, and I'm usually a very outgoing person. And I always tell the people who send me in messages like that, like, look, you also have to be easy on yourselves because this is a time where your body is in flight or fight mode. And it's only normal not to feel like yourself because what's happening right now is very unnatural. It's unnatural to the way you've been living your lives for the past few years. And you have to just take it slow, take it day by day, and understand that it's okay not to feel satisfied, or it's okay not to feel like your goals are out the window. And it's totally normal. And a lot of people who experience anxiety now are also experiencing a level of burnout. And burnout, interestingly, is caused because the rewards aren't coming in. And what that means is that there's something called the reward prediction error. And if you get more dopamine in pursuit of that goal, when you finally reach that goal, it's going to lead to a traumatic disappointment or a traumatic depression. And I've personally felt that before, especially in work where you're stressed out and you're constantly focused on achieving a certain milestone in work or achieving a certain project. And this phenomenon is well studied in humans and in animals. And reward prediction says that if you get the dopamine signal at the final finish line, it has to exceed the dopamine along the way or it becomes a depletion event. Now, how do we avoid this depletion event? How do we avoid feeling that sense of emptiness at the end of achieving a certain goal or not even achieving that goal? And in the perspective of work, for instance, because we're all working in remote teams and trying to protect the company culture as best as we can and trying to look after our people, is you need to remember that dopamine releases to replenish motivation. And in order to maintain that motivation, you have to celebrate the little wins. And even outside of the workplace, celebrate your personal little wins. And if you don't celebrate the little wins, at least register it. Register
it with
yourself.
What do you mean by registering it?
Is acknowledge it. Acknowledge it within yourself, or you can verbally acknowledge it with your team. Otherwise, it becomes this vicious cycle of always being self-critical, of self-loathing. And even if it's just through gratitude, which is a powerful practice in both a physiological standpoint and also in an emotional standpoint. And what has really helped me go through this pandemic, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who are listening right now who are experiencing tremendous amounts of grief, tremendous amount of loss, and understanding that we're all in this together. This is, you know, a time of collective grief. And this is a time where we need to look after each other and we need to look after ourselves. And being able to understand what really matters most to us, which are family, friends, everything else outside of that is noise. Especially young people, they get caught up with, we're spending more time on the internet more than ever before because of quarantine restrictions. And it brings us to this vicious cycle of comparison. And Dr. Vicky and I were speaking about this earlier and before social media, and in the psychiatric community, they call this phenomenon obsessive comparison disorder, the new kind of OCD.
Oh my gosh, and I haven't heard of that. OCD, okay. So it's not obsessive anymore. It's obsessive comparison disorder.
Right.
I'm guilty obsessive, of that.
I think we all are to some degree, you know, it's part of human nature. And, you know, before social media, we would only compare ourselves to our immediate network or people just a little bit outside of that network. However, with social media and a lot of these platforms on the rise, such as TikTok, we're comparing ourselves to complete strangers.
And fake lives on Instagram and Facebook. Because, you know, honestly, I'm sure, including me, I don't really post stuff that's negative or bad stuff that's happened to me because I'm trying to make people happy, I think, by posting nice things or things they haven't seen or, you know, positive things. But then it also then makes it appear that, you know, other people have a perfect life and you, looking at their perfect lives on Instagram, feel like, oh my God, my life is such a failure, right? So I think you gave a very practical way of avoiding this. It's a bit scary, I have to admit, but I think if you want to maintain your sanity, Kat has a very good suggestion. Can you tell them about it, Kat? Because I want the show to be about practical suggestions you can do to balance and find your equilibrium.
We also have to remember that social media it's a highlight reel. It's a highlight reel of our best moments. And you never see a lot of people sharing their most vulnerable moments or moments of grief or their moments of depression. And it's always great to separate ourselves from this dopamine cycle, because what happens when you receive a like in a photo that you've posted or a video that you've shared on your feed? Every single like that piece of content receives, you're releasing dopamine. And it's like this feel-good pleasure center is the dopamine center. And what's really, really good to do, and I advise a lot of people to do this several times a month, and even like once a week is a great time to do it. But take a day where you don't open any kind of social media, or you could take even a week and don't even look at your Instagram, don't look at your Facebook, and just see what happens when you take a break. Look, it's only natural to feel bad when you expect. Again, this is the same concept of the rewards error theory. Is, of course, you're going to feel bad if you've expected a certain photo to gain a certain number of likes, because it's part of our physicality, it's part of our bodies. But when you separate that, you realize that it's not real. It's an app that exists only in your phone. But having that fast, this dopamine fast with social media, it allows you to reevaluate what really matters to you the most. And that's probably going to be your close friends, your family, your hobbies, and spending time discovering new things that interest you, reading books, and going back to nature.
Oh, yes. Talking about nature, I learned something from you earlier when we were discussing what we were going to talk about. And you're saying that sleep is becoming a problem for a lot of people. And sleep is extremely important because it's the only time your body can repair itself. So during the day when you're awake and you're doing things and studying and working, your body's spending all its energy helping you work or helping you do stuff. At night when you sleep, the body can now rechannel its energy towards fixing things that are wrong with your body, which is so important because just like a car, if you don't maintain it, then it, at some point it will break down. And the same thing will happen to your body if you never repair it. But that gave me a really good thing that I never heard of, which makes a lot of sense. The first thing you can do in the morning to help your body sleep well at night is to, go ahead, Kat.
So a lot of people aren't sleeping great these days. You know, even during lockdown, a lot of people, even if they weren't leaving their homes, they would sleep at around 2 a.m., 3 a.m., but they would get tucked in bed at 10 p.m. and wonder, how come I'm not like falling asleep faster? Well, here's some very valuable research from Dr. Andrew Huberman, who is a lead neuroscientist from Stanford University. And I was discussing with him about, you know, how can we get good sleep? And he suggests that if you're not sleeping great, view light early in the day and ideally within the first hour of waking up. And hopefully that's in the morning and not in the afternoon. You should be outside and get at least 10 minutes of sunlight in your eyes. And the eyes are the only visible part of our brain. And our eyes are incredible sensory organs. And in terms of receiving light, receiving photons that come from the sun. And even when there's cloud cover, you're still receiving photons. And even if you can't get outside, open a window. But really the best is to stand outside and take 10 minutes to get the sunlight. And with that being said, you also need to get sunlight in the evening as the sun is setting, because it sets the appropriate timing of the secretion of cortisol, which will make you alert at all times of the day. And you want cortisol dropping by 9 p.m. Like, you really want that cortisol to drop by 9 p.m. And in the psychiatric community, it's well known that a peak in 9 p.m. cortisol is kind of a signature of anxiety and depression, and it's related to insomnia. Mm-hmm. And you want cortisol up early in the day, and you don't want it coming up late in the day. Now, there are some ways to hack this circadian clock, our body clocks. And our body clocks differ because everyone is different on a bio-individual level. But a way to do this is you basically have to focus on dimming your lights, your overhead lights in the evening time, to allow your melatonin to release. And I know a lot of listeners might think, oh, I thought melatonin was just a sleeping aid, like in the form of like a pill or a supplement. But no, our bodies generate melatonin to get us in that restful state. And sleep is the only time of day that you're in complete relation to only one thing, and that's yourself. It is when space and time becomes untethered and it becomes very fluid, meaning that deep sleep is highly, highly, highly restorative. So avoid bright lights, which suppress melatonin. And a lot of people are obsessed with the blue lights being bad from the computers and cell phones. Granted, they are creating a negative effect, but the effects from our overhead lights are creating more of a negative effect than of the blue lights from our cell phones, our iPads, tablet devices, and computers. So you always want to think dim lighting, candles in the evening time to release that melatonin and allow your body to reach that state of restfulness.
But I'd like to say something about melatonin that people might not know. For the kit that we have an immunity kit in Bello, and it includes melatonin. Why? Because we've talked to a lot of experts on COVID on how to do supplementation so that if you are exposed to COVID, you don't go all the way. You become an asymptomatic carrier or something. I'm sure you're wondering, why do people get really sick why do some people get really sick and die and other people are asymptomatic? It's usually because of their immune system. And what they found to be very important for COVID, this is for COVID and not your everyday supplementation, is, of course, vitamin D. So Kat already said, go out in the sun, get your vitamin D, but it would also be good to supplement your vitamin D. Some people don't have the enzyme that breaks down vitamin D to an active D3. The other thing is, of course, melatonin. Melatonin is not just for sleep, but it's an anti-aging hormone. For example, they had all this about 10, 15 years ago when melatonin first broke into the news. They had these rats that were getting old and they gave them melatonin. And after about a month, they were young. They could run again. They could do whatever the thing, treadmill, what do they run on? So it kind of restores your youth. So it's not important just for sleeping, but it also is very important for keeping your energy levels good. And Kat was talking about cortisol. So cortisol is something that, you know, if we're always stressed, then we go into adrenal fatigue. Because cortisol comes from the adrenal glands and you can't be on, you know, cortisol is almost like the Superman, Superwoman hormone. There have been reports of women being able to carry a car when their child is stuck under the car. Where do they find this kind of super strength? It's from cortisol, but it's because you're super stressed and they were able to find this hormone that makes them so strong. But we don't want that to happen every day, all day, because then your organs start to fail. Your body is in total fatigue from being hyped up all the time. So cortisol is good, but not, you know, in small doses. But when you're stressed all the time or worried, then it's always being secreted and that will cause adrenal fatigue and you will be very tired all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah. There are two types of stress. There's the good kind and there's the toxic kind of stress. And the good kind of stress comes in the form of physical activity. And that's another great hack to be able to release anxiety and stress is to move your body and in any way, shape, or form, like play music in your house, dance, go dancing in your living room, or practice yoga. You could go for a walk now or go for a run. And having this kind of physical activity releases endorphins. And endorphins make you feel good. That's why there's this phenomenon called runner's high. After you run, you feel this amazing burst of life flowing through your body. And if we start to understand ourselves from this physiological point of view, then we start to understand our emotional states, because it's all very tied in, wouldn't you say, Dr. Vicky, is what we do on a physical basis, such as breathing, such as sleeping, and such as hydration, for example, it affects us emotionally too.
Exactly. Now, I know you have a Zoom. You have a YouTube where you teach yoga. Is that true, Kat?
Yeah, it's just YouTube/Katrina Razan Yoga. And I started this YouTube channel because during lockdown, a lot of people, especially in Manila, were locked down in apartments. And it was that time when people didn't have access to studios or to the gyms, where I feel a lot of people discovered yoga for the first time, because you don't need a lot of space to do yoga. All you need is a mat or a towel or a blanket and just a space to flow in. And when a lot of people saw my yoga journey throughout lockdown, a lot of people got into it. So I wanted to create a resource for people to learn the foundations of yoga and also have the confidence to continue practicing and continue discovery of themselves. Because I believe that yoga is so good for you, because not only is it, because a lot of us associate yoga with being the physical practice, which is called asana, the poses. But yoga is very much about breath work as well. And the breath work is called pranayama. And one advice that I always tell my students is to practice viloma pranayama, which means, so when you tell someone to take a deep inhale, what happens? It is everything that isn't supposed to happen to calm down your parasympathetic nervous system. It actually activates the parasympathetic nervous system. So instead of telling someone to take a deep breath or to stay calm, you advise them to take two inhales. So you break your inhale into two parts and you exhale everything out through the mouth.
Okay. Can you do a demonstration? Because when you told me this, I really didn't quite understand how to do it. I didn't know if I was going to do or but you break it down into two parts. So you inhale. Go ahead, Kat.
Start by breathing from your belly all the way up through the crown of your head. So slow inhale. So inhale part one. Pause.
Hold it.
Inhale part two. Exhale everything out.
Okay. So
and when you practice,
you imagine you're inhaling to the crown of your head, the top of your head.
Yeah.
And then when you exhale, where do you imagine you exhale from?
So when you exhale, you imagine clearing yourself out from stuck or stale energy. Mm-hmm. And it's great because this is the way to take out a lot of that carbon dioxide in our bodies as well, especially after like wearing the masks for long amounts of day. It's important to practice a level of breath awareness because it calms us down on a physical level. It really does. And, you know, I used to panic a lot before practicing yoga or before discovering the pranayama practice of it. And unfortunately, women tend to breathe shallower when they're stressed out or when they're in that panic state. For example, like you feel like you left your phone in the house and you're looking at your bag and you're like, and you're actually depriving yourself of oxygen. And it creates this stress response in your nervous system. And, you know, like once you have an awareness with that, we become more attuned to the way we react to situations. And a lot of our mental states are determined by how we react to situations and scenarios.
Hi, guys. Before we move on with the rest of the show, I just wanted to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and Podmetrics. If you're a podcaster and you need help with your show's data or even monetizing your show, go visit podmetrics.co and sign up for free using my code BEAUTYAUTHORITY. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to the Beauty Authority Podcast with Dr. Vicky Bello and Katrina Razon.
Can I ask you how many breaths you're supposed to take? Is it just one breath or do you do it like 10 times or something?
So I like to take like 5 to 20 minutes out of my day and just to incorporate that breath work with a meditation practice. And a lot of people say, you know, meditation is so hard because I can't stop my mind. Well, if you pay attention to your breath, it allows you to be in the present moment where you're only thinking about your breath, an easier entry point into that state of meditation. And I also practice this breath work if I'm in bed and, for example, I can't fall asleep as easily. And when you're counting your breaths, it's almost as if you're counting sheep. Remember when you're young and you're told count the sheep to go to sleep? It's the same principle. When your mind is counting to the breath, you just come into this restful state and you end up falling asleep.
Okay, great. So now when you wake up in the morning, you go out in the sun. So you, before you sleep, you count your breaths and it calms you down. Actually, it's true. I fall asleep when I count my breaths, or actually when I pray the rosary, I fall asleep. You know, it's that kind of thing, but it just really relaxes my mind. So what other things do you do to be able to sleep? I think it's quieting of the mind, right? Just stop thinking of the day. You need a break.
Right.
Don't think that you can solve things. One thing that helps me though is I pray before I sleep. I pray and I give thanks and I'm very grateful. So I think your gratitude comes in there. And then I release everything because I know I can't do anything while I'm sleeping. And if I have a problem, I pray about that too. And I pray that when I wake up in the morning, somehow I'll have an answer to that. And it works a lot of times. I really do wake up and think, wow, I think it's even better because in the quietness of my mind, God puts an answer in, or, you know, your body knows a lot more than you think it does. When you're so busy thinking, it's so noisy, right? So you really need to calm your brain down to be able to think clearly and find an answer. What about food, Kat? Is that very important to you? And you're talking about when you eat, you release dopamine, especially like if you eat your favorite food. Mine, of course, happens to be anything sweet, which is really bad for you. They've discovered in the last 10 years that sugar ages you because it causes glycation. So your collagen bundles are like in waves in symmetry. But if you eat a lot of sugar, it breaks the bonds. And then your collagen cracks and is basically destroyed. So as an analogy, if you look at the cushion, it's nice and fluffy. But when you eat a lot of sugar, it's like the springs break. And then you end up with depressions and stuff like that. And you get into aging. But for me, sugar is life. For me, it's like it's not worth living if I'm not going to have sugar. So I'm saying don't follow me because I really need my endorphins. When I eat sugar, I feel better. But I'm telling you that it's bad, okay? So you make the decision for yourself. Yes.
Everything in moderation. And I don't think that we should feel guilty about enjoying the foods that we love and the foods that make us feel good, right? Because I think if you're constantly worried about whatever it is that you're eating, then how could you live a happy life if you're constantly thinking? This is why I really don't like that term. And even as a fitness professional, I really don't like the term cheat meal because it's implying that you're doing something bad. Sinister or bad or forbidden when you're actually just, you're enjoying food.
What's your guilty pleasure?
I love chocolate chip cookies. Going back to that really quick, but I think the more that you deprive yourself from whatever it is that you like, and you look at exercise as a way to punish yourself, like you hear people saying, like, especially after like Christmas lunch, they're like, oh my God, I have to burn off all the calories. Oh my God, I have to do this. If you look at exercise as a way of celebrating what your body can do, then it changes the mindset because, you know, we've been lied to a lot about calories in and calories out, which gave rise to the diet industry. And sorry to tell you this, but diets don't work. Like these trendy diets, they don't work for the long run and they certainly don't work in the short term interim, because as long as you are thinking of this mindset, calories in, calories out, it's going to create a lot of hormonal disruptions in your body and signal a lot of bad stress. And what happens when you think about calories in and calories out? Well, no calorie is created equal, right? Calories only exist in a lab. And if you look at the ingredients of a food versus the amount of calories, then you make better decisions about what kind of nutrition that you're ingesting on an everyday basis, right? Like, what are my proteins? Why should I drink, you know, Dr. Vicky's hydrogen water versus Coca-Cola, right? These are all very...
Okay.
But like, when you think about it like that, right? Like, the sugar is and dairy is what causes inflammation. And when we're talking about our health, we need to have a level of accountability because no one is going to solve how we feel about ourselves and about our lives, but us. And for example, if you have breakouts every time you eat like sugar, for example, are you going to continue eating that sugar or are you going to address the causes of the symptoms?
Well, talking about food, I just realized during the lockdown, I had so many emergency calls from a lot of our patients, especially our endorsers. I don't know, do you know Camille Cole and Julia Barreto? They were calling me because they were really breaking out. But Camille was the worst one because she ate a lot of cheese, I think, and she totally broke out. So I started studying more about cheese because Scarlett is a mouse. She loves cheese. And I didn't realize that all these dairy products are so inflammatory to our system and that we should really be avoiding cheese and, well, milk, eggs and stuff like that because they do cause something called inflammaging. So that's a new word that's very in now. Inflammaging, it's aging caused by chronic inflammation, low-grade chronic inflammation, which can really happen if you use too many creams or you eat a lot of cheese, it can cause a lot of breakout. And your body's in this constant low inflammatory phase. And then again, you're releasing cortisol. So you know, it's okay to eat these things, but as Kat said, moderation is the key to things. And again, you know, eat more fruits and vegetables. Going back to eating, I think it's important to say protein is really the best thing you can eat, but black rice, I think, is wonderful. You should really convert your white rice into black rice since we're such a rice community. But fat is very important as well. Your body needs fat. You just have to figure out what kind of fat is good. And happily now, it's so easy to get avocados because that's really the best source of fat. And fat will kill your appetite. It makes your skin nice and more supple and less dry. For people who are always talking about moisturizing, let's moisturize from the inside. And we need fat for that. But we need healthy fat. And that's avocado.
Nuts are great. Salmon is also a great source of fatty acids.
Actually, all the cold water fish, like sea bass, that would also be good. With the salmon, Kat, I'm feeling a bit off with it now because they are farming salmon.
Yeah, you have
really
to be very careful.
Way, right, to tell the difference. But I know farmed salmon really isn't as good as wild salmon. Do people, are they honest about selling you farmed salmon as compared to free water salmon? Or do they just
I don't think the food industry has ever been honest, because if you think about it, the term organic, it's a marketing term. Mm. And you just pay for that label. It doesn't necessarily mean it is farm raised. For example, when you're buying eggs, you always need to make sure that it's pasture raised, because have you ever seen an organic chicken farm? It's like thousands of chickens cramped up in a chicken coop where, you know, they're the size of, I think they're bigger than Scarlett's two rabbits put together. I mean, they're huge, these chickens. And they're pumped with antibiotics. And it's the same with these farmed salmon, right? And what happens when we ingest this kind of like big farm, big food industry meats is that, again, it affects our endocrine system. It affects our hormones. It affects our digestive systems. And it's also important to know that, like, insulin is the principal regulator of fat metabolism, and carbs drive insulin, and insulin is driving the fat. Mm-hmm. So when we look at the Philippines, what is the main part of the average Filipino's diet?
Rice.
It's rice. And I'm going to share a story that my friend, who is a very amazing doctor, her name is Dr. Molly. She basically quit her job working in a hospital because it didn't make sense for her to be a doctor and to be working pediatrician, working in a room next to someone who was dying. So she started her own practice. And what she didn't like about the medical world in the United States is that, why do we only treat people who are in diabetes? When they're pre-diabetic, the doctors tell them, just go home and come back when you are in that
diabetic already.
Okay. And so what Dr. Molly has gathered, and this is pretty amazing, was she had a client who came to her and said, you know, my doctor told me that I'm pre-diabetic and there's nothing he can do until I reach that phase of being diabetic. And so Molly, my friend, asked her, you know, what can you tell me about your lifestyle? Can you tell me about, because she had, you know, very physically healthy, like active lifestyle. But do you know what was wrong?
What?
She had an abusive partner.
Oh my
God. Boyfriend was very verbally abusive. Mm-hmm. And my friend, Dr. Molly, advised her patient, you know, why don't you just take a breather? I'm not going to tell you to like stop talking to or take a break from your partner, but why don't you go and visit friends outside of town for a bit and just see what happens? Like, put a little like separation, a little bit distance to the emotional problem. And you know what happened to her?
Mm.
Her patient left town and she extended her trip. She ended it with her boyfriend. And by the time she visited Molly 3 months later, she was no longer pre-diabetic.
Wow. Okay.
He was back to
the emotional connection. Like, even cancer, I feel people who get cancer a lot, they say like breast cancer, if it's on the left side, it's emotional. It's like, you know, you keep a lot of your pain inside and, you know, it's around the heart area and And then if it's on the right side, it's more genetic. So
wow.
It really is a connection between your emotions and your illnesses, I feel. So
right.
That's why it's so important to take care of yourself and your psychological welfare and not to stay in abusive relationships. Love yourself enough to be able to walk away. You know,
yes.
Sometimes I know people who are so used to being abused that they kind of look for it. Let's say their father was abusive verbally or their father left. And, you know, in the Philippines, it's full of families that are single parent, especially not necessarily because they're separated, but because maybe somebody's worked abroad. And so they're always looking for the missing parent in other people. And that's why the connection is so strong. You know, like,
right.
For example, I know a lot of people whose fathers left. And so they're always looking for a father figure who's kind of like their dad, who's a playboy who fooled around. And then they keep ending up in the same relationship with a different body, but it's the same person. It's the same kind of behavior. And then
right.
I always tell them, I said, is this what makes you feel comfortable? Because your dad fooled around and your mom and left the family. So you feel like, somehow they feel if they can make this guy stay, this guy who fools around, somehow they got their father back. It's very confusing. And anyway, I'm talking because my pre-med, by the way, is psychology. So I do know a little about it.
Yeah, I think that theory is called the Imago theory, right?
What does Imago mean?
It's basically the premise that unresolved childhood wounds such as abandonment or neglect tend to reappear in adult romantic relationships.
Oh, okay.
And that also covers, like, you know, the four styles of attachment, which is like autonomous, preoccupied, dismissive, or unresolved.
Okay, but we are going to do this for another show because I'm sure they want this kind of advice. Can you summarize what people can do in this pandemic to take care of themselves and stay healthy before we sign off on this episode, please, Kat?
I recommend everyone to connect with your foundations, and this foundations are about the foundations of your well-being. So that means hydration, drink a lot of water, sleep, practice gratitude. You know, start small, like write down three people who you are grateful for, because it's important to think also outside of ourselves. And, you know, I have a lot of people also messaging me that they're depressed or they're experiencing suicidal thoughts during this time. And I always tell them, look, you might feel like you're not enough, but there's someone out there who needs you. So how I advise people who are suffering from very severe depression is for them to dedicate themselves to a social cause. Donate to a charity. Why don't you volunteer to do the virtual like campaign of this charity, or you could raise funds and donate to Pagasa. Do something that brings you outside of yourself. Because when you think of others, and even if it's like babysitting a friend's dog, like there's someone out there in the world who needs you. Even if you think that you're not enough, there's someone out there who would really, really need your help. So that's really important to always remember and connect with your social connections, check in with your friends, connect with your family, and do a lot of physical activity. And the more simple you keep it, the more that you stop yourself from thinking these elaborate goals and these elaborate dreams, the more centered you will feel, the more grounded in the present you will feel. Because positivity doesn't mean thinking positive thoughts all the time. Positivity means having bad days, knowing that good days are going to come. So please send us your questions, and we would love to answer your questions on our next podcast episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Beauty Authority. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to The Beauty Authority podcast. Make sure to follow and subscribe to the show so you won't miss out on new episodes.